May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, John the Baptist certainly doesn't mess around, does he? He lived in the wilderness around the Dead Sea, not the most comfortable place to spend your days or your nights. Even so, crowds came to hear his words, and what words they were. He preached with power of the need for repentance from sin and right living. He was abrasive and insulting, and he didn't care who he was rude to. And that's not to mention the wild hair and weird clothes, let alone his penchant for locusts and wild honey. Still, all sorts of people came to hear him, and he told them in no uncertain terms of the coming of the Messiah. The axe is lying at the root of the trees. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and the chaff will burn. It was fire and brimstone stuff, no doubt about it. Some people thought that John was Elijah returned to earth, some even the Messiah. But no. In Isaiah's words, John was the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This John, the John of the wilderness, had great expectations for the coming Messiah. He would vanquish his enemies, establish a new kingdom, usher in a world of peace and prosperity. It was a hope he shared with his followers. But then, along comes Jesus. There seems little doubt in John's mind that this is indeed the Messiah. He is honored to baptize the one whose sandals he is not even fit to untie. And yet, as they go their separate ways, each to their own ministry, I wonder what John thought. For while John continued to preach repentance, Jesus sat with sinners. While John preached the grim justice of the threshing floor, Jesus spoke of love and forgiveness. While John spoke of the need to turn from evil and save yourself, Jesus said it was God who saved, and that it was never too late, even for the most prodigal of sons. And then, this most fearless and outspoken of preachers takes one step too far. He criticizes the king and draws attention to his wrongdoing. He won't shut up and pays the price with his freedom. Locked up in prison, John has time to think. We have no idea what his thoughts were, but I wonder if he began to doubt just a little. Jesus really hadn't met his expectations. Little seemed to have changed in the world, and from that dungeon cell, there must have seemed very little sign of a new kingdom being ushered in. I think sometimes we forget that saints and prophets are no less likely to struggle to discern God's will than the rest of us. They too can be prone to doubts and fears. Their lives of faith, like ours, are lived not knowing for certain that everything is going to plan, but rather trusting that in everything God is at work. John sends a message to Jesus asking if he really is the Messiah or if they are to expect someone else. And Jesus' reply was not, I suspect, what John had hoped for. The blind see, the deaf hear, those who are lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the good news is preached to the poor. Was this what John was expecting as he languished in his prison cell? Well, possibly not. John is alone, unsure of what is going on beyond the walls of his cell. He doesn't know from one day to the next what will happen to him. Perhaps he is also a little disillusioned, or at least confused, by Jesus' ministry. What must it have felt like after a lifetime of preparing? I've put a small picture in your service books this morning. It's one of my favorite mosaics in Hagia Sophia. I've sat under that picture on several occasions now, and it never fails to move me. John's expression seems to me to sum up that time of thinking, of struggling to understand what was happening, of coming to terms with how different reality was from his hopes, from what he had expected of Jesus. Those expectations, so central to John's teaching, to his whole way of life, have been turned on their head. They threaten to overwhelm him. In the gospel reading today, Jesus says, "Blessed is anyone who does not take offense at me." The Greek word here is skandalisthe, which can also mean not to fall away. Jesus knew his message was not an easy one, that people's expectations, even John's, were sometimes at odds with what they saw. He was aware his teachings were hard to follow, and also that in a world which was threatening those who believed in him, his message of love and forgiveness was not the one they longed to hear. Their expectations were different, and there was always a danger that they might fall away as a result. I like to think that far from falling away, John had time in the physical and spiritual darkness of his cell to come to understand that Jesus' way was better, and that in the end, it would bring a greater victory than the might of any human army. But what of us? We have expectations too, ones which are sometimes fulfilled and which sometimes lead to disappointment. And in one way or another, those expectations include God. We are inclined to restrict him by them. We think we know how he will act, that we understand how he works. But we don't, at least not completely. Jesus' whole life was a breaking through of heaven to transform the world, and it took and continues to take us by surprise. We often misunderstand the way in which God chooses to interact with humankind. John, like those before him, taught us how to behave, to follow the rules, and so to find favor with God. But when Jesus came, he taught us about grace. God already loves us, and doing the right thing and living his way is a free choice we make in response to that love. We want God to take away our suffering, but instead, we find he stands with us in our pain. We want him to make us strong, but instead, we discover his strength in our own weakness. We thought God would destroy our enemies, but instead, he told us to love them. We wanted to lead, and instead, he taught us how to serve. As we prepare to celebrate once more the coming Messiah, let us open our hearts and minds to seek God's hand at work in our world and in our lives. Let us have the courage to expect the unexpected and to remain open to God's touch. May this season of Advent allow us, even in the darkness, the space to catch a glimpse of God in the world. And may we wait on God with trust and hope for all the surprises he holds in his hands. Amen.